And good afternoon and hello everyone. Welcome to Get a Grip with Coach Elex. I'm your host, Coach Elex, and with me, my amazing co-host,
Stephen Frederick is here.
Stephen, the medium, attorney, and husband is here. And today we have an amazing show with guest Matthew Kondracki, who is a filmmaker and somebody who we have had the incredible pleasure to be working with very recently. I say somebody, like I'm actually part of his film, but I'm just like really the sidekick. You are the star of, you know, a couple of those episodes.
Me?
Yes, you. But we're gonna talk a whole lot about that and a whole lot about who Matthew is and what he's up to. And today's show is about resilience behind every successful movie and TV show. And he has done both. But resilience is an important, you know, it's something that it's required for any of you. If you really want something, if you're committed to making whatever your goals in life are, resilience is necessary. Without resilience, you can't move. You cannot move forward. You can try your best, but you're not going to move forward. So it's going to be an amazing show. So that's it, Stephen. What is happening with you? How resilient are you?
I am very resilient. Extremely resilient.
Yeah, that you are.
I think that that could be my middle name, Stephen Frederick Resilient Masick. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, so am I.
I think, and it's something that you pick up. It's something that you learn, and if you're doing it right, I think your resilience as you get older gets stronger and stronger and stronger because you care less and less and less about what others think.
Exactly, and it's really about like not giving up no matter what, like understanding the game, and we're all playing a game. We all have our own game in our lives. You know, we'll have roadblocks, we'll have ups and downs, like in baseball. I talk about the baseball analogy all the time. There's strikes, that's part of the game, but you don't quit just because, you know, you hit a roadblock. You don't quit just because you know, have a breakdown or have a strike. You keep at it because eventually you get to win.
That is correct.
So let's talk about you. Let's talk about what's going on. And there is a reason why Stephen is sort of being foolish with his baritone voice. Go ahead. Talk. Let's talk. Tell people what you're up to.
Well, you sound like it's just today I'm foolish. I'm foolish all the time, right? I want to talk about fun stuff and stuff. So let me just say quickly that this is the first time we've been on, right, since I did Through the Static, and I think so.
Well, anyway. Yeah, hold on. That's because last week got canceled because the radio station was doing some maintenance work, and so we had no choice, but we couldn't do a live show.
So it was just phenomenal since last October. I hadn't been on doing Through the Static, and I had done that show for 4+ years. So it was amazing. The phones were off the hook, ringing, and I got to do readings and speak to people. And afterwards, Elex, the feedback from everybody was pretty amazing. When are you going weekly? It's not enough monthly. So it was really nice. But this past weekend, we got to talk about, because not only did we go up to Salisbury Beach and I did this amazing reading with a group of, I think, 10 people, and Robin, our friend. This was the second time Robin hosted this reading, and you know, her house is on the water. If you are on Facebook or Instagram, you can see the pictures that I posted, and I mean, she walks out on her deck, right, Elex, and the ocean is right there.
You cannot even describe the beauty of the place and walking in and just looking at the ocean and smelling the ocean and hearing the ocean. It's just beyond.
It is. It really is. And Robin is phenomenal. She's just, we're just, Elix and I are so lucky that we came across her path. So she came, she had us up a second time, a whole new group of people, which in the reading was amazing. And this time, because last time we drove home, this time, because it's like over 2 hours to get there from Cape Cod, we stayed in Salem Sunday night and had the best time. It was one of those things, Elix, right, that we stayed, we hadn't stayed at the Hawthorne Hotel since I think when I was practicing my probate business and I had a hearing in Middlesex probate, and to be there early in the morning, we decided to go and stay in Salem, and you came with me, and it was a great, great time. So this was the second time there. But as soon as, you know, I didn't really think too much about the house, I mean, the hotel being haunted, and I just, I mean, I know it's in Salem and stuff, but I didn't really think too much. But as soon as Elix and I got into the room, Elix said to me, "Are you feeling anything?" I'm like, "There's kids everywhere. There's kids everywhere." And Elix, right? No sooner do I say that, it was like someone was playing marbles on our ceiling, right?
Yes, and I actually could hear. Like, I looked at Steven, he looked at me, and we were like, "What's that?"
You could hear the kids, in spirit that is, in the ceiling, like above us, just rolling so that you'd, they would drop the marble, and then the marbles would just roll, and you could hear them roll across the ceiling. So two or three times, and finally I said to Elix, "Kids, like, you got to stop it." And they did, right? And Elix, we heard some other noises and sounds, and everywhere I went, there were kids following me and following Elix, and it was pretty wild. That night, which was not planned, we went to dinner and had a great dinner at the hotel, but then we went to the Witch Walk in Crowhaven Corner, which is Lorelei, who owns the business, and we adore her, we love her. So we had never done the Witch Walk, so we did the last one at 9 p.m., and as the host was bringing us through, you know, you walk, and it's all about the witches, it was amazing. He brought up the Hawthorne Hotel, and that the reason why people say it's haunted is because at whatever it was, I don't know if it was a hotel back then, but it burned down, right, Elix?
Yes, yes.
And 30-something kids died in that. Yeah. All those kids greeted us when we got to the hotel. It was phenomenal. Now, I had no idea. I mean, if I was to guess this place is haunted, I would think I'd be dealing with an adult. Like, it would be a guy or a woman that, you know, that maybe somehow were connected to the hotel. I would have never thought kids, but the first thing I got hit with were kids, and it was a great time. And before I shut up, I will just say a really Steven story that we went into the Witch Walk.
One of many. go ahead. So I don't even know which story you're going to be talking about, but I'm just as excited as everyone else to listen to
this. Oh, no pun intended. I don't know which story you're going to tell. And we're with the witches. In any case, we're on the Witch Walk, and before, we're waiting for everyone to come at 9 o'clock. So the tour guide says, you know, go down, you know, in behind her building is this beautiful, gorgeous garden. And at nighttime, it's all lit up. So he said, that's where we're going to start. So you go take a look. So the two of us are walking down. We're looking. It's beautiful. There's music playing. So there's a table in the center of this backyard that we're all going to go around eventually when everyone gets there. And there are only two other women that were already there. And just, you know, they were chatting with each other. So I looked at the table and saw a phone and said, oh, my God, someone left their phone here. And so I asked the girls, is this your phone? And they were like, no. And I'm like, oh no. So I picked the phone up and I'm heading outward. And I thought from the music, I heard the crackling, something was going on with the music. And I get to the tour guide and I'm like, someone left their phone on the table back there. And he said, it be back there. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, that's the phone that's controlling the music, and as you can hear, it's barely coming on because you're holding it.
Yep, that's a Steven thing. That's exactly, you know. Yep.
I ran back in. Oh my God. And as I approached and got back to the back of where we were starting this whole witch walk, the music
the music started playing normal. It actually, it sounded like the place was haunted. I mean, seriously, you did them a favor by grabbing the phone and moving it out of place. But, you know, but, oh my God, that's what I
love. That is a Steven story. But Elix, you just quickly have to tell people about the store and the rack just like shaking.
Oh, yeah. Well, so another thing was we went to the store. Steven was ahead of me. I'm behind. But as he passed this rack, you know, filled with, I don't know, like little maybe key changes, stuff like that. Things like jingle, right? He went past it and the whole thing started like shaking. And I could hear the jingle and I'm like, huh, I know I didn't touch that. And so I asked Steven, I said, did you notice that whole thing when you went by started like shaking? And you heard the sound, but you didn't realize it.
No, I heard the jingling, but I didn't know what it was, and it wasn't enough for me to turn around. But that was new. That was very new. So,
but in all, it was a very magical weekend for us, and it was amazing. And I'm also, by the way, I'm curious to ask Matthew what he knows about the Hawthorne Hotel, because that's what he does. But before we get to Matthew, we gotta take a commercial break. But I do, before we go, I have a couple of shout outs. So the woman that supports me in everything, my marketing, my business, she's virtual. She's out of Kenya, and it's about 9 p.m. in Kenya. And I want you to know she's listening. She is, I can see her, editing some of the outline for my show. So kudo, a shout out to Florence in Kenya. I also want to do a shout out. I mean, you talked about Crowhaven and Lorelei, and I mean, their store, that tour, it's extraordinary. So a shout out to Lorelei, but also to PJ, who was our tour guy. He was really funny and really awesome. Steven, would you agree with that?
Oh, he was hilarious. He really was.
So shout out to them, and then shout out to my friend and colleague Robert from Florida, and all my friends at Whalen Associates, because I know they are listening. They have a practice to listen to my show every Friday. Our show every Friday.
And I have a shout out too to Tony in Rhode Island. So
who's Tony?
Well, I don't know. So any Tony in Rhode Island would be like, oh, Steven just gave me a shout out. So,
all right. Well, listen, we do have to take a commercial break. When we come back, we are going to talk to Matthew Ryan Kondracki, who is the owner and creative director of Dark Echo Productions. And you want to tune in because he's up to some really amazing things and we want to hear all about it. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Get a Grip with Coach Elix. I'm your host, Coach Elix, and with me, my wonderful co-host,
Steven, the Master Medium.
Steven, the Master Medium.
Wow, and someone loved that. They slammed the door.
I know it. I actually felt it here. So, not surprised, because we are talking about the paranormal today. And today, our conversation is about being resilient behind every successful movie and TV show. And we have an amazing person. We lucky to call him a friend, Matthew Ryan Kondracki, who is the owner and creative director of Dark Echo Productions. And he's currently working on a Dark Echo's paranormal show. So I'm excited to have Matthew here. I know that there's plenty to talk about. But Matthew, hello and welcome. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am doing awesome and even more excited that we get to have you here on our show today.
Oh, I'm super excited and honored for you guys having me.
Excellent. And I know, Matthew, from what you've shared with both Steven and I, your love for film started when you were involved as an extra on a big Hollywood set. And you also met somebody who became a mentor because he really liked you. He liked, your drive, and he took you under you know, your his wing, that is. So tell us about, you know, what it is that, you know, what it is that you do, and how did you get to become a filmmaker?
Well, I had the honor in 2009 to be an extra on The Town with Ben Affleck, Jeremy Renner, and we were filming at Mohegan Sun Casino. It was my first time ever doing extra work, and they put me behind him throughout the whole scene, but it was very cool. And we had to take a break because his wife at the time, Jennifer, called, and when he was done talking, I accidentally elbowed him because I didn't know he was next to me, and I looked at him and I said, I apologize. He said, oh, no, no worries. He came over and just started talking to me, having this awesome conversation, and then he introduced me to Jeremy Renner, and he was asking, he was like, yeah, you know, they had you behind me the whole time. He goes, I noticed that you're looking at all the cameras and stuff. And I was just so fascinated, and then I got to physically have a conversation with him himself and Jeremy Renner, which was really awesome.
And what was it? What was it about filmmaking that called to you? Because there you are, you're an extra, you're watching, you're suddenly meeting these people, but there was something that called to you. What was it about filmmaking?
When I was at a young age, I was always fascinated with movies. I was always when I played with action figures, I did a bunch of role playing with my friends. We would do like video games, like Resident Evil. We would act the characters all day, and we would stay the characters all day. So that's pretty much where it began at a young age. And then as you know, time grew on, I wanted to do all this. I wanted to know, you know, what does it take to become a filmmaker? What does it take to do a show or a movie? And how is it made? You know, how do I become an actor? You know, an actor, or how do I become in the background? And then I got my opportunity on The Town with Ben Affleck.
You know, Steven, I hope you're listening to this, because this now validates everything that you do with all, you know, your toy. You play with puppets. So, you know, here's, you know, Matthew talking about playing with his action figures. And this is what it led to him to being such a successful filmmaker. So I see a very bright future for you as well, Steven.
I that's why we connected so quickly, me and Matthew. We both had the love of playing with action figures and toys.
So Matthew, let's talk about Dark Echo Productions. Tell us about, you know, why and when did you start that filming company?
Well, I've started a couple of them, and you know, when you start something, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But you don't stop; you keep going, you keep the drive because you know you could do it. In 2010, I had a company called 3U Films, and it was with my friend Sadie Westbrook and Bob Westbrook. God rest their souls. We had the opportunity to make a film called "Sorry, Mom, I Won't Be Coming Home." We got the Connecticut School of Broadcasting involved. We got the town of Enfield involved, the fire department, Elm Cap Industries, Lee Stevens Funeral Homes. So it was my very first time doing something, and it actually went pretty big. And I happened to meet this guy, Rob LaMagunga, who worked out in Paramount Pictures for 22 years. And I invited him to the set when we were filming the big crash scene. And he was so impressed that he actually, you know, took me aside and said, hey, you know, let's meet up, you know, let's have a cup of coffee. And from that day, I worked with him on stuff, and I tried doing stuff, and he always, like, the one thing I love about Rob was he was straight honest. This guy was honest to the point. If my work was crap, it was crap. He would say, hey, man, I know you could do better. So I made a couple other films. They didn't go too far. And then I asked Rob, what am I doing wrong, and why am I failing? And he goes, it's not that you're failing. It goes that you have to understand what it goes into making a film. And I said, please teach me. So I took 5 years of understanding filmmaking, production, how to do this, understanding audio, broadcast levels, color grading. And then so after 5 years, I made another film, Sorry Mom 2. That was actually really good. We hired a cinematographer, and let's just say it didn't work out. But so 2019, I started a real company called Dark Echo Productions, and I was writing a horror script at the time, And then I happened to meet a good friend of mine in 2015 who I did security for, Jason Clifford. And then 2019, he became the executive producer of Dark Echoes, who's put so much into this company to get where I am today. And I love everything that he has done for us. And so that's how Dark Echo Productions became in 2019. And then in 2021, it became an LLC.
So, and you talk about, you know, like it took 5 years since you got tapped with the idea of filmmaking to get your business going. Now, I know for a fact that running a business is not a walk in the park. Steven and I do that. So I know that that applies to, you know, filmmaking. Also, I heard, Matthew, as I'm listening to you, that clearly you knew from the very beginning that this is something that you were committed to. So how did you manage to overcome any obstacles that may have gotten in the way trying to derail you from that commitment?
So when I was on my journey, the 5-year journey, I lost friendships. I had family turn on me. I had people tell me that I could never film like Hollywood. I would never be able to do that. And all my life, I've had people try to turn me down. And I don't let that happen, because when people tell me I can't, that is my motivation to say, okay, hold on now. You don't know me. How are you telling me I can't do something when you don't physically know who I am? So when people tell me I can't do something, I use that as my drive and my motivation to prove them wrong that I can do this. And I now, because of what I've been doing, I have been classified in the industry as a professional filmmaker who is getting noticed by some big names in the industry.
And by the way, that is right there, for those of you who are listening, that is right there the definition of resilience. You know, like really moving against all odds, against whatever gets in the way as a roadblock. Steven, you know, what is there anything that you, I mean, you've worked with Matthew, so you have, you know, a relationship unlike many other people that may be listening. Anything that you want to say to Matthew as he relates to his resilience in getting the business going?
Well, I think the first thing that stands out is just Matthew, the way you just spoke about the history of where you were and where you are, and just so owning when things didn't work out and when there were failures. And I think when you get there and you can say that so easily and understand that it is there's stepping stones, I think that's just goes to show you where you are and what you've learned, and just in such a great place. And I did. I have had, I've been honored to actually work with Matthew on two different things. And one thing, Matthew, I will tell you that I never told you before, because, you know, when you're filming, it's not like I have a lot of time to speak with you because you're crazy busy with everybody, but you can see the respect and the how much the staff or the people on the set love you. And I think that tells everything about you. It's that phrase or that saying that, you know, you are who the friends that you keep. I may be messing that up, but you know what I mean. And mm-hmm. It's just everybody that I was exposed to. And on two different episodes, I met, you know, a couple of different people on both times, some same, but even just the conversations, the quick conversations I had with them was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's, you know, I took a chance. I reached out to you, Steven. I emailed you. You're probably sitting there like, what is this? and I'm so thankful that you guys accepted the invitation to be a part of the episodes. And when I got to meet you, it was just your energy was so full and you were just so lovable, and your energy, and I have to say, and I'm not ashamed to admit this, Steven actually got me to cry, and I don't cry in front of nobody. I don't even cry at funerals.
But he had the magic.
He got me to break down in front of my crew and in him and you, and just brought me to, not sad tears, he brought me to happy tears, which I've been holding back for so long, and it was just a relief to hear what he was saying. And also, too, when your episode airs and you talk to the spirits, and the spirits actually told you they love that what we're doing.
Yeah, I, you know what, Matthew, that was such a, also such a key piece, and it's big for me, because that's not everybody that sort of dives into this world dives into it for the correct reasons, the right reasons, the passion, the path you're following, Matthew. Like, not everybody is like you, and spirit knows that. You know, and spirits, it's not like us here on earth that they can be vindictive or angry or so. It's not like that. But there's a major difference when they know whether you're doing it for the right reason or you're doing it just for money, or the wrong reason, or something like that. Not that money's bad, but you know, it's not fired up by your soul and what you love. And that was the first episode. I just heard them all say how much they loved. We love Matthew, and we love everybody in the crew. And I wasn't surprised. And clearly after the second episode, I'm like, oh, now I completely understand what spirit's talking about. And I just think something that you talked about a couple of seconds ago, when you were on set and you accidentally elbowed a Ben, all I heard in spirit was, that was no accident. That was supposed to happen, because it was supposed to be, you know, Matthew's soul reaching out, and that energy reaching out saying, help me. Like, I this would be good as a mentor. This would be good for help. So I love that, Matthew, and I'm not surprised.
But one of the things, Stephen, that it's important to highlight for those of you who are listening, who find yourself, you know, connected with this conversation, is, listen, the opportunities, you know, spirit may put an opportunity in front of you, but you got to do the work. You got to be willing to step into it. You got to be willing to bring that resilience and that passion into it. It's not given to anyone in a silver platter. Having said that, we do need to take another commercial break, Matthew. So hang in there, because you started talking about your paranormal show. So I have questions. Our listeners have questions. So we're going to talk about the show when we come back. We'll be right back. And hello, everyone. Welcome back to Get a Grip with Coach Elix. I'm your host, Coach Elix, and with me, my amazing co-host,
Stephen the Medium.
Stephen the Medium, who happens to be, you know, my husband as well, of 30 years. And today we are talking about resilience behind every successful movie and TV show. And of course, behind every successful movie and TV show, there's a successful driver. And in this case, happens to be Matthew Ryan Kondracki, who is the filmmaker, owner, and creative director of Dark Echo Productions. And Matthew is working currently on a production called Dark Echo's Paranormal Show. Welcome back, Matthew.
Still here. Thank you.
Yeah, Matthew, we are talking to you, and so you and Stephen started talking about, you know, your current production, and I'm really fascinated, because, you know, listening to your story, listening to your drive, I can't help but wonder, how did that drive get you to now be working on a paranormal show that is, it's gonna, you've made this public, so I know I'm not saying something out of line, that it's going on a, you know, in a major streaming network. How did you get there?
Well, in 2020, I wrote a script on a horror trip, and then obviously COVID, you know, they had a big, I had an opportunity in 2019 to film a trailer that went to Paramount Pictures, and I'm grateful every day for the opportunity, but unfortunately COVID had a different plan for all of us. So I wrote a script during COVID, and then when we got released, I wanted to make a horror film, and I happened to contact the streaming company of what I was doing, and they said, we would love for you to give that to us when you're done, because I'm following all the broadcast standards, I'm following all what they ask for, their requirements. So unfortunately, you know, something happened, and we didn't get to finish that. So I happened to talk to a good friend, like family to me, and she's been part of this journey ever since we started, and I love everything about it, Cammy. And I came to her about wanting to produce a paranormal show, but I wanted to do a show that's never been done, and I wanted to take it like a documentary style plus an investigation style, so it hits all in one spot. So we decided to come up with something what happens to do with mediums, and then the investigation. So what we decided to create was a show about taking mediums who's never been to any of these locations, and then the kicker part is they're completely blindfolded, not knowing where they're going until they take off the blindfold. So we wanted to do a show where it's real. Nobody can say anything's staged, and nobody can say it's fake. Because the only way the mediums get to the locations is if they're getting driven by their friends, their husbands, their wives, or whoever they're using, only they know where they're going. So when those mediums pick off that blindfold, they are seeing the location for the very first time, just as the audience is seeing. So that's when I knew we had something. When we filmed the first episode with an amazing person, Maureen, who is part of our show now. She's actually part of our show. She went from being a medium on an episode who is now part of the whole show. And that's when I knew right then and there we had something. We had something phenomenal. And then when we got the film with Steven and then Monique Tusum, and just and meeting all these mediums and paranormal investigators, getting to these awesome locations, also teaching... why I'm also filming, I'm also teaching as well. Tammy, who knew nothing about audio, looked at the device and says, what is this? Now understands when it's time to do audio. She knows about mic replacement. She knows how to stop the rustle. She knows how to get the audio levels. So I took somebody who knew nothing and now knows audio very well. Also, too, we had this girl, Scarlett, who I met at a filming convention, who I brought her on the show, and now she's becoming an amazing DP artist and knows how to film on Red because I got to teach her that. So not only are we producing this show, I'm also teaching people who want to know what goes into doing a show or a movie and all about lighting. And then when the investigation happens, oh, I can't go too much details. I'm going to save that for when it airs. But I did it in a way that where people can never say that the show is staged or fake. And when I wanted to do something, I wanted to make sure it's legit and it's something out of that's never been done before.
And I can say, Steven, you probably can validate better than anyone that the show is not staged or fake, because getting Steven to a location blindfolded, not knowing where he was going, was something else. Steven, what was that experience like for you?
Well, I don't think Matthew knows this. I'm sure Matthew doesn't know this, that when Matthew reached out to me and I saw the email and I showed you Elix, I thought, that's not my thing. I'm not a paranormal kind of guy. I don't look for ghosts. I do mediumship. And, you know, based on, I think, what Matthew said in his sort of growth and where he is now, I've been in the same process and then just stepped back and said to Elix, you know, I think this could be a great opportunity. I've never done it, and I just turned it around and looked at it in the positive way. But when the episode was about to happen, I think it was Memorial Day weekend, I think, yes, and we were getting very close, I'm asking Spirit in my head, is this guy legit? I mean, I didn't know Matthew from a hole in the wall, right? And Matthew had, I think the last thing we signed the documents and stuff, and then Matthew said, you know, I'll be in touch. And then the day before the alleged filming, and I came downstairs, right, Elix, and said, you know what, Elix, let's not waste our time. I think this guy is not legit. He hasn't reached out to me. I can't get anything from Spirit. I don't know why I can't pick up anything on Spirit. But this is crazy. This is ridiculous. And I just don't think this is going well. And then Elix, you said to me, I know exactly where we're going. And I'm looking at him like, what do you mean? How do you know where we're going? He says, because Matthew and I have been having conversations. I'm like, what? And then everything just fell into place. I thought, no wonder why Spirit's not giving me anything, because I'm not supposed to know. And it was, I was nervous, Matthew. The first episode, I was really nervous, like meeting you and meeting the crew, but that's why I had Elix with me. But 10 minutes or 5 minutes before we got to the location, I think it was 10 minutes before the location, I was blindfolded. I had no idea where we were, going. You know, we pull up to the front of this place. You know, the door opens and Matthew grabs my hand, brings me in, and every 3 seconds I kept saying, Elix, Elix, are you here? Elix? it's weird being blindfolded. And I could hear like Matthew and the crew. And then once the blindfold comes off, Matthew was like 100% correct that I had no idea where. I'm looking around like, where in God's name am I? And I, like, it looked like a worker going by. I'm like, oh my God, we're in a business? Like, what is this? I had no idea. So it was fascinating, and I loved it. And I can't even tell you how honored I am that you asked me to do a second episode. Seriously.
I just wanted to say, I listen to your instructions and I follow your instructions. You told me he cannot know where we're going, so I didn't say anything. So go ahead.
The second episode with you, Steven, Tammy and I were very honored, because that's where it all started for her and I. So when you got there and what you did was just, it was just mind blown, because nothing of what happened there was ever like really publicized. Like, you know, there's articles, but there's nothing really about stuff that we talked about that happened to us, you know, on our own. And what people don't understand is when I have the camera and I'm following these mediums and they're getting what's going on, I'm taking the camera and I'm hiding my face because I'm trying not to smile so much in front of them. But it was such an honor that we got to go back to the location where it all started, and we had Steven on for that episode. And then on two episodes we had the amazing Sam Baltrustis, who was well known in the paranormal field. And this was something he was not used to, being blindfolded as well. And then for the semi season finale, we had Larissa, who is an amazing medium, who I happened to meet on social media, and we just connected and became awesome friends. And I said, hey, look, you know, I got this. I'm going to be filming this episode. Would you like to be part of that? And she jumped on it. And I met her friend Sarah Glenn, who I gave her all the instructions where they're going. So Larissa did not know where she was going. So that episode is phenomenal. The only thing that happened that episode was I might have lost the code.
Wow.
But to experience this, meeting all of you, getting the location, working with everybody, I really think when this airs that we have a hit on our hands, and people are going to be just jaw-dropping the quality, the audio. When you guys watch it, it's going to be like you're watching a cinematic movie.
I have no doubt.
Me too. I have no doubts also, Matthew. You know, the universe and Spirit just takes people and connects them the way they're supposed to in this lifetime, and I that's how it happened. And with you behind this, your energy, you just also pick up, and that's why you have such a great crew, and the people that are part of these episodes are all just people that are sort of on the same page of your energy. And I think it's impossible for you to pull anybody else in that wouldn't be on your page, because right now, you're holding the reins to your energy, which is a beautiful thing. And there's no question that this is going to be outrageously successful. It's going to be huge.
And with that said, we want to know more. We have more questions, but Matthew, we do have to take another commercial break. So hang in there, Matthew. And when we come back, we will ask more about where the show is going. We'll be right back. And hello, everyone, and welcome back to Get a Grip with Coach Elix. I'm your host, Coach Elix, and with me, my amazing co-host,
Stephen the Medium.
And today we're talking about resilience behind every successful movie and TV show. And of course, we have an amazing, successful filmmaker, Matthew Ryan Kondracki, who is talking about his new paranormal show, Dark Echoes. Welcome back, Matthew.
Thank you, thank you.
So, Stephen has a question. Stephen, go ahead.
Matthew, based on, and I'm not sure if you're done all the episodes or not, but just based on how, from my perspective, and I know barely so little, but it, like when I was on both those episodes, the energy of everybody was over the top. So I'm sure you feel that. How are you holding it in? Because you have to know this is big, right? This is big. I don't know if this is a question, a comment. I hope you are absorbing all of this and knowing that this is driven by Matthew. This is you who's doing this and putting this together. And these are the steps that are just coming to, like, you know, the top of the mountain, which is going to be the greatest. And like how is this more motivating for you for more stuff? Like, how are you feeling about this?
That's a good one. What's behind every success is a team, the crew, and everybody working together to make it happen. And I'm so grateful every day for all of them for making this happen. I have yet to, you know, really sit back and be like, wow, because once I get it on that streaming platform, that's when I'm probably going to sit back and be like, we did it. You know, we talked about it. We did it. We only have the season finale left. So we went on to do 7 episodes, but we hit over 8 episodes because the season finale would be number 8. So, and it's just, we're still getting calls from locations who want us to come out and film, and we're almost done with season 1. So it's an amazing feeling that it's actually all coming together. And we just had the big premiere last night on the pilot with the film crew, so they could see what's going on. And everybody's were just blown away by the quality and everything that we're doing behind the scenes. A lot of people don't understand is in this industry, the number one downfall for anybody is ego. Ego is going to be the one that's going to take you out. If you can remove your ego from the platform, you can rise to success. That is the number one problem in this industry is ego. And I've seen a lot of filmmakers fail, or a lot of people fail because their ego gets in the way and they don't understand that. So I had the opportunity to have my ego busted right out of me by Garage, which I love every day.
Yeah, you know, and you know what, Matthew, I would say that it's not just this industry. Ego is something that gets in the way just for about everyone, you know. And so I'm glad that you're talking about how to make sure that you check in and don't allow the ego to be the driver, because if you do, then it can derail you from moving forward. You know, I also heard something when you talked about how much you are doing for your staff, how much you're training, you develop them. You know, one thing that I think it's really important for everyone to get is that giving is receiving, and you should always. And again, I'm talking to all of you, no matter what it is that you do, what it is you're committed to. If you're running a small business, giving is receiving. The more you give, the more you get. And, you know, make it a practice to always give more than the monetary value that you're receiving. Always, always, always. I know it's difficult. I know that oftentimes we get caught in, you know, but I can't. No, you can. There's many ways. And Matthew, when you talk about training and developing and teaching, that's a way where you're just giving back, you know, to these individuals, and I really, really admire that in you. You get what I'm saying, yeah, Matthew?
Oh, absolutely. The training that I gave my crew is, I'm now comfortable with saying, hey, you know, we're going to this location. I need the camera up. I need the audio up and ready. I can let Scarlett and Tammy do what they do, and I can concentrate on lighting and the storytelling. What I believe, because of this crew and how well they're well trained and understand what goes into production now, I honestly think we could take on $100,000 or $500,000 jobs and knock it out of the park because of how Tammy and Scarlett and everybody's trained in the filming now.
I don't have any doubts, Steven. Do you?
And not at all. Not having firsthand exposure to all of them, and I got to meet Scarlett, and Tammy is just, I even had some conversations with, well, I had conversations with everybody, and everybody is just amazing. It's just, that's the only word I can use, is everybody is amazing.
And if they're listening, which I'm sure they are, shout out to Tammy and Scarlett and the team at Dark Echo Productions. And I think, Matthew, we are at the top of the hour, and actually our producer said, you know, we have to invite Matthew back because 1 hour is just not enough. We have so many more questions and so much more we want to learn. So would you be willing to come back, Matthew?
Absolutely. It'd be an honor to come back.
Awesome. Awesome.
Matthew's like one potato chip. You know how you just can't have one potato chip? You just got to have more? So we need him more. We need him back.
Okay, Matthew, so now you're like a potato chip. We want more chips. Just say, oh, dear God. With that said, Matthew, thank you for sharing your time and attention so generously with us. And I am excited to have you in our lives, and we look forward to having you back as a guest. Before you go, Matthew, though, I want to, can you tell people if they're interested in learning more about you in learning more about your productions, if there's people out there who are interested in perhaps funding projects that you're working on, how can they get a hold of you?
They can reach me on Instagram at filmmakermatt82, or they can go on, they can email me at darkechoproductions19@gmail.com. Every Tuesday at 9 o'clock, we hold a filmmaker meeting, and we teach lighting, audio. I'm in the process of actually talking to a hotel about doing a big filmmaking event where people get to come down, get hands-on, what it takes to be a professional filmmaker, how to meet the quality, hands-on the equipment. So there's a lot in the works. And I've got people who want stuff filmed, and so it's blowing up, which is amazing. So if anybody wants to reach out to me and you want to learn understanding audio, filming, post-production, please just email me or hit me on Instagram, and I will answer your questions as much as I can, because unlike a lot of things out there, it costs thousands of dollars to get this knowledge. And here I am. I want to make the next filmmaker out there.
Awesome. Again, giving is receiving. You know, that's wonderful, Matthew. And as a reminder to everyone listening, this show will be turning to a podcast that is available at your favorite podcast streaming device. And also we will turn it into a blog that you will be available on my website at coachelex.com. So, Matthew, thank you for your time and attention, and we'll see you again very soon.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Matthew. So, Steven, we're at the top of the hour. Anything else? Anything that you want to say to close the show? How amazing was listening to Matthew?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. On commercial break, all three of us, including Mark, the producer, all saying, we got to get Matthew back. This was not long enough. And his giving is why he is going to be so successful, because he's in the right place, so, which is amazing. But if you want to be in my right place, just go to stephenthemedium.com. That's my website, or Stephen the Medium across the board on all social media platforms. You will see me and check me out.
Beautiful. And you can find me at Coach Elex on any of the social media platforms. And one thing I want to close is, listen, if you were listening to today's show about resilience, one thing that came out, you know, that you should walk away loud and clear is, listen, follow your passion. Following your passion, it's not easy. If it was, everyone would be doing it. But if you do follow what you love doing, and you know what that is, you know, what you love doesn't equal necessarily to what's going to get you the most money. But I do believe that when you follow your passion, the money comes, and it comes effortlessly. So if you're an entrepreneur, follow your passion. That's it. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. And in another week, Stephen DeMedium will have his show the last Friday of the month. We'll be right. We'll see. We'll be right back. We'll see you another week. No. We will not be right back because Mark, our producer, is starting his show just about now.
So check it out.
Check it out. Stay here so you can listen to his amazing, amazing show and music. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.